pondering the Proverbs as we are seeking to devote the devotional study each family fellowship night to the book of Proverbs. Last time it was the scoffer. Tonight we're looking at the sluggard. So let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs, chapter 26. By way of review, Proverbs are axiomatic and normative principles, not ironclad promises without exception, that utilize comparisons, contrasts, figures of speech, and illustrations to teach life's profound truths in order to have wisdom and skill for living. And that'll be true as we examine the sluggard tonight. You see, the characteristics of Proverbs are that they are designed to be memorized. They're short with well-chosen words. They do not explain things. They just usually make a point. They appeal to you to listen and apply and compel you to evaluate yourself in light of the Proverbs that you read. Now, there are 10 truths I would like to underscore tonight about the sluggard. But in doing so, let's begin by defining the term. The sluggard is an unmotivated, undisciplined, lazy person. An unmotivated, undisciplined, lazy person. And while you're turning to Proverbs 26, look at verse 14 for a moment. Now here is quite an illustration. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. See, just like a double-hinged door swings back and forth, not going anywhere, simply repeating the same patterns of movement, so is a sluggard on a bed. Not willing to work versus not able to work. You know, there are some who are not able to work, but there are others who really are not willing to work. You see, a sluggard, according to the dictionary, is a person who is habitually inactive or lazy. Synonyms are like lazy bones, loafer, slouch, idler. And keep in mind that even before the fall of man into sin, when God created man in the image of God, He created him with purpose, and part of that purpose involved work. We are wired for work, in a sense. But then when the fall of man, work became much harder. And we know, according to the Bible, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. And so we're saved by grace through faith in Christ apart from works. But then God has a plan of good works that emanate from us as we walk by faith under the power of the Spirit of God. And in doing so, good works are to be part of our life. Now, obviously, a sluggard is one in which these good works are not happening, whether naturally or supernaturally. And as a result, go with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. For here in Proverbs chapter 6, the sluggard is commanded to observe the ant to be wise. That is not only true in Proverbs 30:25 and Job 12:7-8, but here in Proverbs 6, God uses animals that He created that we might learn valuable lessons from. We look at verse 6 where it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." You see, that term sluggard is found some 16 times in the book of Proverbs. And he is one of the most pitiable man in the Bible. And so the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, I want you to go and I want you to observe the ant. I want you to consider her ways and I want you to be wise. I want you to learn something from the ants. So what can we learn from observing the ant? Verse 7. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. You see, what we're seeing here is that the sluggard is in contrast to the industrious self-starter person who is cognizant of time and opportunity. You see, the ants have no leader or boss. They have no structured leadership. Yet the ant gathers its food in summer when it's able to work and works hard to prepare for winter. You see, they're industrious. They're self-starters. They recognize opportunity and time. And by the way, we all need time boundaries. We need deadlines in order to get things done. Are you industrious? Are you a self-starter? Are you cognizant of the time and opportunity you have? Now, in doing so, you also need to have a sense of priority, because there's many things that can demand your time. And yet, that ant knows unless she provides supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest, she is not going to be fed. She's not going to have what's needed. And you see, when it comes to life, life is bound by time, and life is bound by opportunity as well. You see, as you look at the two contrasts, the ant is wise, the sluggard is foolish. The ant is a hard worker, the sluggard is lazy. The ant preserves, the sluggard likes idleness. The one cooperates, the other hates work. One is diligent, one knows it all, as we're going to see. One is responsible, the other makes excuses. One takes initiative, the other doesn't finish things. One enjoys learning, the other doesn't want to learn. Question, are you more like the ant or are you more like the sluggard? Question, parents, are your kids more like the ant or are they like the sluggard? Which one is it? The fourth thing we observe about the sluggard is that the sluggard is warned of how his lack of a good work ethic and procrastination will lead to poverty, but he just doesn't do anything about it. In fact, continuing right here in Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? In other words, they're procrastinating. They have no sense of urgency. And here's kind of their little motif. Here's their little way of life, their mode of operation. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. And that idea of prowler is really intensified in the Hebrew. In other words, poverty will vigorously march its way into your life and steal what you could have had because you are a sluggard. You are lazy, unmotivated, unwilling to work hard. And then it ends with your need like an armed man. In other words, your laziness will prevent prosperity from coming into your life. Perhaps you're the kind who always wait till the last moment, then get highly stressed when there's a problem you didn't anticipate. And some of that could have been avoided had you been on it. You know, I have a little, way of doing things when it comes to airplanes, flights. I like the hurry up and wait approach. I like to get there early and make sure everything's in place in case there's a car trouble along the way, in case, a flight got changed or whatever. That's the way I like to approach it. Now, I know Kurt kind of goes the other way. If I've been with Kurt, he tends to like to wait towards the end. And by the grace of God, he gets away with it. Praise the Lord. He's not a sluggard in that sense. I'm just saying, sluggards do tend to put things off. And that's why some of the favorite words of the sluggard are, well, I'm not sure. Well, in the future, someday, in time. One day, tomorrow, now. No, now isn't one of their words usually. Later, never, perhaps, whenever, not yet, another day, next week. And such is the life of a sluggard. See, sluggards usually have a lack of sense of urgency and priority. Because of that, they waste a lot of time. You know, it's like this guy right here. I'm very busy doing things I don't need to do in order to avoid doing anything I'm actually supposed to be doing. As he plucks away on his computer, right? And I'll tell you, computers, my face, and other kinds of things can really steal a lot of your time if you don't control them. Do you have a child like this right here? Are you helping them address this by deadlines and discipline and reward? If not, they'll be struggling with this all their life, or they'll have to learn it later if they learn it at all. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34 say this. I went by the field of a lazy man, here's a sluggard, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. See, the two go together. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. I learned something from it. What did you learn? There's that mode of operation again. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So those two verses are repeated again in Proverbs for the sake of taking notice of them and avoiding it. You see, a sluggard will not begin things or they will not finish things, at least in a timely manner. They are a lazy procrastinator. And unfortunately, in our day and age and in our country, oftentimes the government is there to give them a handout. It's become a national epidemic. In fact, you know what is now true of California, New Mexico, Mississippi, Alabama, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio, New York, Maine, and South Carolina. These 10 states now have more people on welfare than they do have employed. That's an absurd situation that obviously cannot continue for the economic health of a country. In fact, according to January 2017, the Senate Budget Committee reports that in fiscal year 2012, between food stamps, housing support, child care, Medicaid, and other benefits, the average U.S. household below the poverty line received $168 a day in government support. What's the problem with that much support? Well, that means the median household income in America is just over $50,000, which averages out to $137 a day, which means they're making over $50,000, close to $60,000, by way of benefits. To put it another way, being on welfare now pays the equivalent of $30 an hour for a 40-hour week, while the average job pays about $24 an hour. Now, I'm not saying there's never a place for that. I'm saying when that's there due to an unwillingness to work, we have a sluggard problem. Number five, the sluggard sinks to the bottom in the work chain while the diligent rises to the top. Now again, these are Proverbs. This isn't always true. But if you go to Proverbs 12 for a moment, verse 24. Proverbs 12, verse 24. You will see that the diligent is contrasted with the lazy man. Verse 24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. You see, the phrase will rule here speaks of various kinds of leadership roles. He's diligent, he's trustworthy. As a result, you know, he may become the teacher of the year or the employee of the month, or he gets promoted at work. He's viewed as a valuable employee. But the lazy man, in contrast, will be put to forced labor. And that word lazy man is the word for slack, slothful, sluggard. They may be a big talker, but nothing really gets done. And forced labor means they're at the bottom of the employment ladder. And again, this is a proverb. It isn't always true, but this is a normative truism. You see, the sluggard lacks the needed preparation or discipline to succeed financially in life. They wish to be a doctor, or they wish to own a house, or they wish to be a good athlete, but again, it's only a wish. So often, because of their lack of diligence, they lack opportunity. Look at these two guys right here. The one says, I'm blind. The other says, I'm lazy. No, really, I was born this way. Yeah, we'll work for beer. Here's this guy. He needs that like another set of toes, doesn't he? Principle number 6. The sluggard is an irritation and disappointment to his employer. He is an irritation and disappointment to his employer. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. You know, it is very hard to hire honest and hard-working employees today who don't have an entitlement thinking. I'm convinced if you just show up on the job every day, you will stand out, which is incredibly bad that it's sunk to that low. If you are a conscientious hard worker who does your work as unto the Lord, you will be outstanding in many ways. In Proverbs 10, verse 26, we read, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. You see, vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes are something that are irritating. And that's what he's saying here. So is the lazy man to those who send him, his employer, as it were. Why is it disappointing? Because he fails to be responsible and carry out his duties faithfully. You know, I know in my own life, I had to learn how to work, unfortunately, after high school. Before that, I did a lot of sports, didn't really learn how to work. I got a construction job where we put in port basements carrying 105-pound forms around all day, and you started to learn how to work. And then I had a job where in a small little iron ore mine on afternoon shift, we didn't have any supervisors. There was just 3 of us in the shop, and I had to learn to do my work as unto the Lord without anyone watching. And that was really good for me. You know, unfortunately, again, too often, employees find themselves in these kind of situations with our employers do with their employees. Or like the guy right here, what fits your busy schedule better? Exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day? Diligence. By the way, let me just say, the opposite extreme, not the balance, but the opposite extreme of the sluggard would be the workaholic, who overcommits, compromises priority relationships because that's all they do is work and work and work. And too often it's motivated by pride, trying to prove themselves, and it ends up in divorce or bankruptcy or both. And obviously you don't want to go to that extreme. Principle number 7. The sluggard desires many things but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall become rich/prosperous. Now remember, these were Solomon's day. Unfortunately, sluggards today a lot of times have a lot of things because, again, they get it handed to them. But in Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires. Now, there's no object mentioned of what he desires. He just has these desires. He has these wishes, things he wants to do or get, and he has nothing. But the soul of the diligent, that's the contrast, shall be made rich. You see, again, the sluggard isn't willing to work for what he gets. He perhaps has an easy come, easy go kind of mentality. Everything handed to them. And by the way, parents, they should be learning this at home. Your kids should be learning this at home. And I'll give you some clues how to do that at the end of the message. principle number 8. The sluggard goes the easy route only to find in it many obstacles over time, while the upright finds life a highway over time. Proverbs 15:19, the way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. You know, it's real easy to be lazy, but eventually it all catches up with you. It's a hedge of thorns. It's one obstacle after another. While the upright finds life a highway. A highway. You see, for the sluggard, opportunities are lost. You reap what you sow. They always seem to have an excuse. Where over time, being diligent, especially if you walk with the Lord, you do what you do is unto the Lord, and therefore you are a hard, conscientious worker. Over time, there are many things that get easier in life. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. The way of the upright, again, is a highway. But you know, some can never really face this reality because, again, they're always deceiving themselves or they're always using excuses. And yet, Proverbs 26:16 says, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So he's always justifying. He's always giving himself a reason why. He's really smarter than the rest. But the proof really is in the pudding. Which leads us to number 9. The sluggard fails to complete what he starts in contrast to the diligent. And again, this is very much along the lines of the procrastinator again. We read in Proverbs 12:27, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. But diligence is man's precious possession. He went out and he shoots, let's say, a deer. He brings it in, and he gets home, and what does he do? Oh, that's too much work to skin it, gut it. He probably gut it already, but cut it up and butcher it, and then prepare. Just let it sit. Wait a second, what did you go out hunting for? But such is the life of the lazy man. Proverbs 19:24, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. And will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's really a great picture, isn't it? Might be how some of you look later in the day. Maybe after a hard day at work, that's where you're at. Principle number 10. The sluggard is filled with excuses to avoid work. The sluggard is filled with excuses to avoid work. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Again, he just has an excuse. He doesn't plow. Well, you know, it's winter out there. Can't plow. Well, why didn't you plow during harvest? Why didn't you plow earlier during the spring? Well, you know, I just put it off. Always have an excuse. Kind of like this guy right here. Family kidnapped by ninjas. Need $4 karate lessons. Really? Your family was kidnapped by ninjas? But again, the sluggard always has an excuse, don't they? So, we're not again talking about just good work for good work's sake. We're talking about truly, in the life of the believer, as you walk by faith and are filled with the Spirit, you then do what you do is unto the Lord, and the Spirit of God produces good works. But when it comes to the training of a child, they may not yet be saved, they may not know how to do this, but they still need to learn how to work hard. So what is the remedy for the sluggard under grace? Remedy number 1 is don't shirk the responsibility to be a diligent, hard worker at home or at work. Instead, embrace it as God's will. Don't shirk it, embrace it. That this is God's will for me. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Don't shirk that. Embrace that. As this is part of the will of God. And that is why in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says something very similar. Verse 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. In fact, time doesn't permit us, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, if you're not willing to work, you shouldn't eat. In fact, there was a form of church discipline that was actually executed upon certain individuals who were claiming because Jesus was coming again that they were just sitting around chewing birdseed and not working, as it were. And they are rebuked and chastened for this. Number two, what's the remedy for the sluggard under grace? Learn to do your work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. It will help immensely. It will help you when you just learn to do what you do as unto the Lord. In Colossians 3, 22 through 24, it says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Just visualize the Lord behind your boss and do it as unto Him, seeking to please Him and not even ultimately seeking to please your boss. And usually when you do it as unto the Lord, your boss is usually pleased because you're going to do it conscientiously, sincerely, hopefully, faithfully, and completely. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Because you got to remember, you serve the Lord Christ. Number three, rely on the Lord by faith and prayer for the wisdom and strength to do what is necessary and to grow in this area of your life. Again, you're not cranking it out yourself. You're relying on the Lord. You're even committing things to Him in prayer. You're praying about this. For the wisdom and strength to do what is necessary and to grow in this area of your life. Maybe you're like me, and I had to grow to learn how to do this. 2 Corinthians 3:5 reminds us in all of life that we're not sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. But let me just end with some tips for you parents. It's on the back side of your hand out there. How to cure the child who is a sluggard. Now, the older they are, the harder it will be if you will be successful at all. This is why you really want to teach them, even at a young age, how they can pick up their toys, how they can help in various ways. But number one, instruct them on a biblical perspective of work. Now, depending on how old they are, obviously you can say something more. But the Lord wants us to work hard. That work is not wrong in itself. That He wants us to do it as we'll see as unto Him and so forth. Number two, model for this perspective for them in your own life. It should just be model this perspective for them in your own life. Now, if you're a sluggard, it's pretty hard for you to train them to not be one. In fact, isn't that one of the hardest things about parenting? To discipline your children require that you're disciplined yourself. Number three, train them to do hard work. Now, training means showing them what to do and doing it with them and then letting them do it alone and holding them accountable. Train them to do hard work by working with them initially to show them how to do it. Not just telling them what to do, it's showing them how to do it. Have daily chores that they must do in a timely manner with supervision. If you don't supervise, I'll tell you already what's going to happen. Right, parents? It ain't going to happen. Start with simple chores and add more over time. Also have other projects that they can do or help you with as needed beyond the chores. You know, they're just contributing members of the family. These are things that need to get done. We want to do it as unto the Lord. And then seasonally or other times, there will be other projects that will be needed as well. Thirdly, encourage them to do these chores as unto the Lord. Require the behavior and teach the thinking. Require the behavior and teach the thinking. Let me say that again. Require the behavior and teach the thinking. Because you really want to go beyond the action to the attitude and the thinking and the heart. Fourthly, have positive and negative consequences for completion or failure. Have positive or negative consequences for completion or failure. And then fifthly, remove from their environment that which distracts them. I mean, if they're distracted by the computer, turn off the computer. If they're distracted by something else they're prone to, try to remove the distractions. It's like what Hebrews says, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And then lastly, pray for your children as the Lord needs to work on their hearts and seek to have a relationship of unconditional love with them. Remember, rules without relationship will lead to rebellion. Your objective isn't to just have a good, hard-working son or such. It's really to have a relationship with them and help train them for life and help teach them and train them to be servants of the Lord, to have a servant mentality who thinks in terms beyond themselves and are willing to minister to others. But that doesn't happen by accident. That's going to require training. That's going to require the Lord working in their lives, starting with salvation, and God using you as a parent to be a very important tool in that training process. Proverbs has a lot to say about the sluggard. And by God's grace, may we be training servants of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for our evening. If hearing very encouraging reports about the going forth of the Word of God and the Gospel and people getting saved, and believers getting assurance, and others getting clarified, thank you again for what you are doing. We give you the glory. And Father, we just even thank you for this study in Proverbs on the sluggard. May we take this to heart. Give these parents wisdom. Give grandparents wisdom. And give individual believers who may not have been trained how to think this way or how to do this. Father, just may they be willing to learn. Because you are faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And for those who were trained with parents who taught them this, may they esteem them highly in love. For their work's sake. Undertake for our fellowship time to follow now, and thank you for all our blessings. In Jesus' name.